of God's word. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. God, this morning, as we come to your word, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to hear, to see the treasures that are for us here. And that, God, we would treasure Christ even more, and that, God, our spirits, our souls would be, God, just uplifted in the sense of we are compelled to now abide in Christ as your disciples. Lord, I do also want to lift up to you those who may be hurting in our congregation right now. I pray for Miss Tina Anderson as she travels right now to see her mother who could possibly be in the last days, weeks of her life. I pray that you would be with her in her travel and also be with her as she is there to comfort her mother, God, and that you would give her wisdom there. Lord, I do ask that you would be with our body here. Continue to cultivate unity and fellowship among us. Let us find joy in being together with one another around your word, and that, God, we would together glorify the name of Christ. Lord, we ask you, be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Has anybody ever heard a last-second sermon? If not, you're about to. So it's not last second, it's last couple days. But when Shane left, Shane had to leave kind of abruptly. So I pulled one out of the bag. I'll just go ahead and tell you. But this is a text that means a lot to me in John 15, 1 through 8. Because I think it has a lot of ramifications for us as we live out the Christian life and what it really means, what it really comes down to when we call ourselves followers of Jesus, when we call ourselves Christians. And it really does come down to these very three big words: abide in me. Can you say those with me? Abide in me. Abide in me. And that is what we're going to be looking at this morning, is abiding in Jesus Christ, is what it means to be true disciples. And what we'll find out is this, is that what the Christian life looks like is this, is that we are continuing to remain in Jesus Christ, remain or abide in Jesus Christ, and that shows itself, reveals itself in how we live. And that's what true Christian disciples will do. We will abide, and it will show itself that we abide here. And so the way that we're going to kind of work out this text together is we're going to look at three big words called remaining, revealing, and removing. Can you say those words with me? Remaining, revealing, and removing. And this is the way in which we're going to try and unpack just this very, very small word, abide. That's what we're doing today, and that's what Jesus is trying to do for his disciples right here, is to unpack abide. Because right now at John 15, this is Jesus' exit speech, in a sense. It's a kind of exit strategy, is that he knows what's about to happen to him, and so he is telling his disciples, here's what you're supposed to do after I leave you, after I die and I'm resurrected and I'm ascended upon high, because I'm not going to be here physically with you anymore. You'll have the Spirit with you. But what are you supposed to do now here without me? And what he boils it down to, and this is not just for the disciples that are hearing this is for every disciple after them, is that for those of us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, this life means that we abide in Jesus. And so we're going to unpack this, what it means to abide in Jesus. And so the first point is this, remaining. What does it mean? What does it mean to abide and remain in Jesus? And what I want you to do, this is not on your outline, I want you to write down three words. I'm giving you a lot of words, a lot of things to remember. And so three words, continuing, depending, and maintaining. Continuing, depending, and maintaining. And this is what abiding boils down to. Abiding is about continuing with, depending upon, and maintaining our fellowship with Jesus. Abiding is about continuing with, depending upon, and maintaining our fellowship with Jesus. You know, over the course of the 5 years I've been here, I've told you a lot about Dry Prong. And, you know, Dry Prong is different from Baton Rouge. I don't know if you realize that. I don't know if I've made that clear enough, but it's quite different. And here's the way it's quite different, is that in Dry Prong, you're born there, well, not there, because we don't have a hospital there. You're born there, and you're raised there, and you usually go to school there in Dry Prong, and you usually marry a girl from Dry Prong. I was the outcast. I didn't do that. Usually marry a girl there from Dry Prong. You usually get a job there in Dry Prong. You usually stay there in Dry Prong. You usually have kids there in Dry Prong. You usually die there in Dry Prong, and usually get put into the local Dry Prong cemetery. That's just what Dry Prong does. That's what Dry Prong people do. That's just what they do. And you may be from some of those kind of towns where you are born, raised, and live and die in that city. And people in Dry Prong, they just embed their lives there. That's just what they do. They embed their lives in Dry Prong. And they continually stay there no matter what circumstances may arise. They live there. They raise kids there. They have jobs there. They embed themselves in Dry Prong. Versus Baton Rouge, which is a very transient city. Am I right about that? I mean, people are always coming in and out, right? 2 years here, 3 years here, 5 years here, and then they move out. Completely different cities, completely different kind of aspects. As one is transient, people moving in and out, one is embedded. And this idea of embedding oneself in a kind of a town for the rest of our life, this is one of the aspects, I think, that draws out what abiding in Jesus means, is to embed yourself so deeply in your relationship with Jesus Christ that you're constantly staying there like you're embedding yourself in a city for the rest of your life. This is what it is. This is the idea, is that it's continuing with Jesus Christ over and over, day by day, minute by minute, embedding yourself into that relationship with Him. And so this is what we get at when we hear the word abiding. It's that it's continuing something. It's continuing. And if you look in these verses, is that He brings up the word abide like seven times here. And if you look at the whole Gospel of John, He actually brings up the word 40 times. So you think abiding is an important theme in John's Gospel? I think it is. And so Jesus is wanting to draw this out for His disciples, is what does this abiding mean? Well, it means to continue to walk with Him daily, day after day, week after week, minute after minute, steadfastly with Him. Is that it's not giving up on Him, it is continuing to walk with Him. And this is what is required of disciples of Jesus Christ. It's continuing to go with Him. It's not a fad or a trend. Many of you have probably walked through many different fads and trends. I try to think of some that I've gone through. Beanie Babies, that was one. I didn't collect them. Not a lot of them. Didn't have a big assortment of them. Pokeballs were a big one. Gigapets, anybody remember Gigapets? No? Okay. Highlights were a big deal. I remember highlights. Highlights in the hair. I remember my mom promised me if you get straight A's, you can get highlights. I don't have highlights. What does that tell you? Furbies, right? Fanny packs, which I've been told by the youth here, are now back in style. Did not know that, but they're being worn differently. So you see all these fads and trends that come in and out, and we all have our own fads and trends, the kind of ups and downs. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying is not what abiding in Jesus Christ is. Is that abiding in Jesus Christ is not fad or trends, up and downs, week to week, month to month, day to day, year to year. No, it's not a fad or a trend. Is that if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we call and claim ourselves to be disciples of Him, then what abiding means is continuing on with Him day by day, week by week, minute by minute. And what this continuing with Him requires of us is depending upon Him as we continue. Is that it requires us to depend upon Him. Is that this is where all the language of vine and branch and tree and vine dresser all come from, is that Jesus is using this kind of agriculture analogy from Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5 to talk about what is your relationship like to Jesus Christ? Well, it's like a vine and branches connected to this vine. And that if you are to disconnect from this vine, you will die. That's what the metaphor is for, is that the branches are completely dependent on the vine for all of its nourishment, all of its resources. It needs it. I was Googling this a while back. You know, the longest a person can stay underwater, what they've recorded, is 22 minutes. That's pretty long. The longest person has been able to survive in the desert without water is 3 days. And so the necessities that we have for life are water and air. We are dependent upon those things, and without them, we will certainly die. And so just as one's existence underwater is dependent upon their connection to an air tank, and just as one's existence is dependent upon water in a desert, so is our continual connection and dependence upon Jesus. Is that you cannot sustain yourself in this life apart from Him if you call yourself a follower of Jesus. Continuing to depend upon Him day after day. It's not a fad or a trend. It is a continual habit and pattern of the Christian life. Is that it's not a case where you can say, we're on a break. Like it's a 7th grade, 8th grade dating relationship. We're on a break right now. I wouldn't call us dating. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, all these Facebook statuses, right, that you can be in. This is not the nature of a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that you can take breaks and you can be off for a while. No, actually, abiding in Jesus means that you stay continually dependent upon Him every moment of your life, because your life is dependent upon it, as you are for water and as you are for air. And so there's not a scenario where you can say, well, yeah, I abided, as in like past tense, I abided in Jesus many years back. I go to church on Easter. I go to church on Christmas. You know, I pray at the dinner table. I go to God when a big crisis happens in my life. That is not depending upon Jesus. That is not depending upon Jesus. That is riding the course and the waves of this life and coming to Him whenever you feel like you need it in that moment. Depending upon Jesus, abiding in Jesus, means that you stay constantly connected to Him because your life is dependent upon it. We've heard a lot in the past couple years about the need for ventilators and what ventilators do, and that people who are required to be on a ventilator need to stay on it. They can't, hey, we'll put you on it for 5 minutes and we'll come back, take it off for a couple minutes and things like that. No, you get on a ventilator and it helps you to breathe and helps you to stay alive. And so just as we are in need of sometimes ventilators, machines to help us breathe, is that so it is with Christ and our abiding in Him. It's that the strength and authenticity of our faith is based upon our dependence upon Jesus Christ at every moment. The strength and authenticity of your faith is dependent upon, are you connected to Jesus at every single moment? Are you staying in constant fellowship with Jesus? Are you in it for the long haul, right? Are you loyal to Jesus even when it doesn't benefit you? Because a lot of times we say, yeah, I'll depend upon Jesus in this situation, but only if it benefits me and the good comes to me. That is not abiding in Jesus. That is not abiding in Jesus. Abiding means that we continue with Him, that we depend upon Him, and that it goes so far as then we maintain this relationship with Him. Again, it's not an isolated event that happened way back when, but it's something constantly that we are maintaining. That's why He uses this garden vine imagery again. Is that if you have a garden, is that you have to maintain it, right? Or weeds are going to grow up in it, or it's going to look all nasty and gross and things like that. You have to constantly maintain and tend to gardens. So it is with your walk with Christ Jesus. If you think it's something that you can just turn on a long time back and it'll keep running like a car, cars don't even do that. Is that you have to maintain and tend to this relationship, this abiding in Christ Jesus. Not just continuing with Him, not just depending upon Him, but maintaining this. And what it seems to come down to for Jesus is that how do you maintain this relationship with Him? Well, look at verse 7. If you abide in Me and my words abide in you. Jesus will say again in John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So abiding, what it requires of us, seems to be connected to Jesus and his words and what he has said. And so I want to ask you this right now, Crosspoint. This is a good barometer to check on how well we are abiding in Jesus at every moment. Is that, what is your relationship like with God's word? What is your relationship with it? Because this will serve as a barometer if you are truly abiding in Christ Jesus. How is your relationship with Jesus' words? Are you cultivating and maintaining this relationship with Jesus? By reading, by praying, by being in fellowship together with the church? Confessing sin? Or have you allowed your faith to wilt and to wither? Because disconnected from Jesus and not maintaining it through his word, it will wilt and it will wither. And so the Christian life calls for maintenance. This is what it means to remain in Jesus Christ. It means continuing on him, continuing with him daily. It means depending upon him for all things, even our salvation and our sanctification and all things. And not only that, maintaining that. What it requires of you is to feed your faith with spiritual discipline. And so this is what it means. So if we're doing this, what happens? What happens? Well, that's what Jesus gets into next, is that if you are abiding and remaining in Jesus, it will reveal itself. And this is point number two, revealing. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus, and how do we know if we are abiding in Jesus? You may be sitting here wondering, oh, well, I don't really know if I am abiding in Jesus, kind of question, things like that. Jesus is going to take that question off the table. He says, you will know. It will be quite clear if you are abiding in Jesus, if you are continuing with him, if you are depending upon him, and if you're maintaining that relationship with him. It will be evident to all people and even to yourself. And so he gives us three words to lock onto. How do we know if we're abiding in Jesus? Three words, three P words. Producing, pruning, and praying. Can y'all say those with me? Okay, I just want to make sure everybody's still with me. Is that one of the ways in which we find out if we truly are abiding in Jesus Christ is that, one, producing. Look at how many times Jesus says fruit here. Bear fruit, bear more fruit. Bears much fruit. Over and over again, he's bringing out, here's the case, is that if you are abiding in Jesus, there's going to be something produced in your life, and that production is fruit. That's what the byproduct is. Over and over again, is that branches that are connected to the vine and stay connected to the vine, they will produce fruit. You will know if that branch is connected to the vine. And some of those fruits, he outlines here. What are some of the fruits? Well, one is, he goes on to talk about obedience. This, our abiding in Jesus will not lead us away from Jesus. It will lead us more to Jesus and to obeying him. If you will love me, you will keep my, what? Commandments. Abiding in Jesus will lead us to obedience to Jesus. Not only that, it will lead us to joy. It will lead us to joy. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. One of the ways in which we know that we are abiding in Jesus is, one, are we obeying Jesus? And two, do we have joy in this life? Or are you constantly grumbling throughout life as though you've been given a chore? I don't know about the kids in here. Any kids in here love chores? Anybody love doing chores in here? Just really enjoy it? Okay, Scott, no? No? Big no? Yeah. I'm 31, and I don't like the chores that I'm given. So I typically grumble through the chores that I get and the list that I have and things like that. I grumble, and so certainly not a joyful response to instruction, right? But here's the case with the Christian life, is that one of the ways in which it's revealed that we're abiding in Jesus is, one, are we obeying Jesus' commands? And two, are we joyfully obeying Jesus' commands? Is it burdensome to you to obey Jesus? Because this is what one of the factors is that you know that you're a Christian in 1 John chapter 5, is that Jesus' commands are not burdensome to you. They're not like heavy weights on you that you just feel obligated. I feel obligated to obey Jesus today. God, man, I wish I didn't have that chore. That's not the case for people who are abiding in Jesus. People who abide in Jesus, they obey Jesus joyfully. And then they love other people. They love one another. And we've constantly see this throughout the scriptures, is that by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And now you might be thinking, well, I know people who do these things, who love other people, who seem to be obedient, things like that. Jesus makes it very clear that if you are not abiding in him, all these things, all these fruits are impossible. They are impossible. Look at what he says in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself and unless it abides in me. We need to remember that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. It is impossible for us to produce fruit in our lives that glorifies the Father, as verse 8 says. It's impossible. You think, well, it doesn't seem impossible. No, it is impossible. You know, there's a couple of tasks in life that are impossible. I don't want you to try this right now, but supposedly licking your elbow is impossible. Please don't try it right now, because it'll get me to start trying it. Licking your elbow, sneezing with your eyes closed, supposedly impossible. Those are supposedly physically impossible tasks that you can do. And this is what is trying to be communicated by Jesus, is that you think that you can manufacture this fruit. You think that you can get it all together and produce this fruit on your own. If you are not abiding in Jesus, you cannot. What Paul Tripp says is that apart from God's work in you, apart from his Spirit working in you, and you trying to produce fruit on your own, is that that's like taking an apple and stapling it to a tree. That's what it's like. It's like taking a fruit, an actual fruit, and stapling it to a tree. Is that fruit going to survive? No, it will not, because it is not naturally grown by that tree. The same is for us, is that if you, if me, if we are not abiding in Jesus, we cannot manufacture love and obedience and joy on our own. It's impossible. And that's what Jesus is wanting to communicate to his disciples. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing on our own. But in bearing fruit and producing fruit, being one of the ways in which our abiding in Jesus is revealed, is that there's also another thing, is that God also prunes us so that we may bear more fruit. Look at what it says in the first couple of verses. Is that Jesus is the true vine, the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So if we are truly abiding in Jesus Christ, one of the products of our lives will be bearing fruit, like we just talked about. But so much so that God will prune us so that we will bear more fruit. Is that God, by his Spirit working in us, will, and this is what we call sanctification, is that he shapes and molds us and takes and removes things out of our lives so that we may bear more fruit. And guess what this pruning process does? And guess what it is? It is painful for the Father, the vine dresser, to prune branches so that they may bear more fruit. You know, sometimes we don't like to be pruned. It's painful. Just as we don't, you know, I don't like plucking my nose hairs. But I do it to be beautiful. You know, I don't like working out, but to keep up this bodybuilder physique, I got to, right? I don't like doing it. It's painful. It's hard. This is what God the Father does, is that if we are abiding in Jesus, producing fruit, what he's going to do is that his goal and his purpose is to prune us, and sometimes that is painful, so that we may produce more fruit to bring glory to him. And that his pruning is good for us. He doesn't prune us to be mean, to be harsh, to intentionally inflict pain, but he does it to make us more into the image of his Son for our good and for his glory. He's removing things that may hinder us from producing more fruit. And so that is one of the evidences of abiding in Christ, is that the Father will prune us. So, do you see in your own life where God may have pruned you, may have removed some things out of your life that you know that if that would have stayed in my life, that would have hindered me from bearing more fruit for God? Is there things that right now maybe you're considering, like, this right now in my life is hindering me. It is a hurdle and it is keeping me from bearing fruit. Maybe the Lord is bringing that to your mind so that he can prune it and remove it from your life so that you can bear more fruit and abide in Christ even more. Do you see some things that need to be removed from your life in order for you to grow and to abide in Jesus even more. And lastly, this is that, so one of the ways in which our abiding in Jesus is revealed is that we produce fruit. So we ask ourselves, do I see fruit in my own life? Second thing is that God prunes us. Do I see God removing things, pruning me, so that I may bear more fruit? And the third thing is that he gets specific, and he says, praying. He says, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It seems as though when we are abiding in Christ Jesus, one of the effects is that our prayers and our prayer life will be shaped by that relationship and that union that we have with Jesus. I don't know if you know this. He's not here this morning, so I'll talk about him. Jerry Kingsley. He is a great gift giver. If you haven't received a gift from Jared, I'm sorry. But it's like he knows you better than you know yourself. It's like he's gotten me a gift before, and I've said, I've never even knew I wanted this. You ever gotten a gift like that when somebody gives you such a good gift and like they know you better than you know yourself? And you're like, I never even thought that I would like something like, or want something like this. And so, you know, you have these relationships with people and you kind of know them and you know what their likes and dislikes, you know what they wouldn't want because of your relationship with them. You know, this works in also spouse relationships too. I don't know if any husbands are good gift givers to their wives, but let me just give you an example. You know, if on our 10-year anniversary, which was last May, I pulled up in the house and I said, Myra, I got the best 10-year anniversary gift for you. And she's like, oh, I can't wait to see it. And I said, come outside, it's outside. She's running outside. I said, look, it's a four-wheeler. An awesome happy anniversary. I love you. And what do you think Myra's going to say? Do you know me? Are we married? Like she would begin asking me. I'm like, what? What are you doing? You know, and some people in Dry Prong, like people in Dry Prong, say, she didn't like that four wheeler. You need to break up with her now. You know, but that's Dry Prong. So, but if I got her a four wheeler, clearly she would say something like, "You must not really know me very well. Our relationship." It just hasn't gotten to the point where you know what I like, what I don't like, my interests are, or anything like that. But fortunately, I did not get her full wheel for our anniversary. I think I got her something nice. But our relationship with one another, the union that we have together, is that I know what her dislikes and her likes are. I know what to give her. I know what kind of gifts to give to her. And the same thing is being teased out by Jesus, is that if you are abiding in Jesus Christ, your prayer life will be shaped by that union and that relationship with Jesus. Meaning that you won't come to Jesus and say, God, I want the nicest car ever made. I want that right now. God, I want the biggest house, 8 stories high. God, I want the most land. I want the biggest four-wheeler. I want the strongest four-wheeler I can get. God, give me that. Give me that. Give me $1 billion, God. You ask all these things because those are your wants and those are your wishes, and they may not be God's. But now, because we have this relationship with Jesus, that we are abiding in him, our prayer life is now shaped by his will, his wishes, his desires, and those things change our own wishes, wills, and desires in this life. Is that our abiding in Jesus will shape the way that we pray. And so, I'll just ask you this, Crosspoint. One of the things that Jesus assumes is that his people pray. He doesn't say, hey, look, disciples, if you happen to pray, pray this. No, he doesn't say if, does he? He assumes that, hey, one habit of the Christian life is my people pray. They pray, and they pray in accordance with my will and desires. So are we praying? And lastly, let me just sum this up real quick, is that if we're abiding in Jesus, you're going to see fruit being produced in your life. You're going to see the Father pruning you to remove things that will keep you from bearing fruit. And then you will see that your prayer life is being shaped by Christ's will and desires in this world. And last is the third word, removing. So we've talked about 3 questions. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? What does it look like to abide in Jesus? What's the product of that? How do I know I'm abiding in Jesus? And the third question that he wants to ask is this, an answer. What if I don't abide in Jesus? What if I don't abide in Jesus? That's the question Jesus wants to answer. And what we get from the first two verses is this. If you don't abide in Jesus, God will remove those branches that bear no fruit and that don't abide in Jesus. He will remove them, and they will be thrown away, and they will wither, and they will be burned. God will remove the fruitless branches who do not abide in Christ. I don't know if you've ever been in a scenario where you've been pushed into a cold pool or you've been asleep and somebody's poured something on you and you wake up in one of these kind of... Anybody had that experience? Is it just me? Okay. Maybe I'm just inclined to have people pour something on me while I'm asleep. But you get that sense when somebody pushes you in a cold pool or somebody pours something on you and you're just awake and everything kind of just, your whole body is just tense and you wake up and you see all, you know, you kind of, your eyes are wide open to life now and everything kind of comes into picture and you're kind of just, you're running frantically. Is that it's a shock to your system, right? And I think this is the very reason that Jesus puts this phrase in here. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then he goes on to say that if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Is that so far, Jesus has been talking about abiding in him and what it looks like to abide in him and what is required of the disciple. But now Jesus changes direction. And man, Jesus gets really low right here. This is like a low point. He says, if you don't abide in me, there are serious consequences here. That there will be removing, is that God will not allow branches who are not connected to the vine, who are not bearing fruit, to remain. And so Jesus wants to make severe the ramifications of not abiding in Jesus. That there's only two types of branches here. There's fruitful and there is fruitless. And the destiny of those who abide in the vine, they bear fruit and glorify the Father. But for the unfruitful branches that do not abide in Christ, He will tend to His garden. He will remove them. They will be taken away and thrown away and gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Jesus is unmistakable here. It's a serious thing to not abide in Christ. It's a serious thing. It's a warning for his disciples and for us, that to reject or disregard Christ and not abide in him is serious. And so this should be just a shock to our systems, followers of Christ. This is not meant to send you into a frantic, into a assurance of salvation question, like, oh man, am I saved? It's not to send you into a tizzy, into a franticness. It's meant these words here that Jesus says, even in what we see in the book of Hebrews, these are meant to be a shock to our system, to wake us up to see, have I become passive? Am I not depending on Jesus as I should? Am I not continually walking with him as I should? And it should shock us into more obedience and more abiding in Christ. It shouldn't shock us into fear. It should shock us into obedience and abiding in Christ even more. It's to be a shock to our system. If you are a true disciple of Jesus, then Jesus' warning should provide for you a self-evaluation. Are you abiding in Jesus? But if not, if you're not a disciple of Jesus, then Jesus' words here, they should be a shock to your system to drive you to repentance. Is that this morning, if you're watching online or if you're in here, and these words that Jesus has said, you think, I guess I'm not abiding in Jesus, and I guess I don't see any fruit in my life, and I'm not really don't feel like I'm being pruned, and I don't really care about praying, then Jesus' words here about removal should come as a shock to your system. And that shock to your system should drive you to repentance, into falling at the feet of Jesus and crying, I depend completely upon you. And this morning, you can have that assurance. You can have that assurance. You can have that confidence in Christ even this morning This morning, if you don't know where you are in Christ Jesus, you don't know what your relationship with Him is like, this morning, you can leave out these doors confident of who you are and what you have in Jesus. Is that God has sent Christ Jesus to come deal with our biggest problem, and that is our sin and our rejection of Jesus. That we each, in our sin, rejected Jesus. But God, in His loving kindness, has sent Christ to come and reach out to us, to come and pursue us, and has drawn us to Himself. And not only that, Jesus has been obedient. He has been joyful. He has been loving. He has been all things that we were not. And that He has gone so far as to die on the cross for our sins, for us not abiding in Him. That He has been raised from the dead and He has ascended on high. And that this morning, for all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, can be now attached to the vine and can find nourishment and can find resources and can find life in Him completely. This morning, Crosspoint, if you are following Jesus, I just ask you, are you abiding in Him and depending upon Him daily? Is your life, does it show that you're producing fruit and that God is removing things out of your life so that you would bear more fruit? And that, is this a shock to your system when you hear Jesus say something like, if you don't abide in Me, you will be removed? And is this shock to your system? Is it pressing you to obedience? Let me pray for us. God, we love You, and we thank You, God, for Your kindness and Your steadfast love for us. God, I pray for us right now at Crosspoint, we would abide in You individually and corporately in Christ Jesus, who is the foundation of our faith, the cornerstone, God, and that we are dependent upon Him for all things. Lord, God, this morning, for any of those who don't know Christ, they would be drawn to Him. They would see their need and that life can only be found in Christ Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. As I ask the band to come back up, we're going to end with a song, King of Kings. And during the song, we're about to take the Lord's Supper after it. So I would love for you to sing during the song, but also take some time to reflect and maybe even confess sin while this song is sung. Preparing your hearts and your minds to take the Lord's Supper and what is happening here when we do take the bread and the cup together. And so use this song, this time together, as we sing, to reflect, evaluate, and prepare yourself for taking the Lord's Supper. Let's stand and sing together.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven You came running. There was mercy in Your eyes to fulfill the law and promise.